Hope you take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John. We're going to continue our study in John chapter 4 this morning. And we're going to look back at the two passages, really, that we've looked at the last 2 weeks. In John 4, verses 1 through 30. The last 2 weeks we've considered the two themes, if you will, of Jesus as the living water. And then we saw last week Jesus as the one who revealed himself to the woman at the well and talked to her about true worship. But there's still a lot in these verses for us to consider this morning. And the theme that I want us to consider in these 30 verses this morning is the theme of evangelism, of making known the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. A few years ago, I read a book on evangelism, and he gave this definition for evangelism, and I thought it was simple and helpful. He said, "Evangelism is teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade." So evangelism is the proclamation or the teaching of the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus, with the aim to persuade people to believe it. In an argumentative form, in some ways, you're not arguing, but you are presenting what you believe as your convictions that the Lord Jesus is the Savior of the world. And we're going to see that in this passage this morning. We're going to see how it is we can learn from the Lord Jesus and from the Gospel of John, how we too, as God's people, can make much of Christ and proclaim Him to those around us. One of the things that we've looked at in this particular gospel is that John has written this so that we would believe in the Lord Jesus, and we know that. But part of this also is for us to learn how we can make known the Lord Jesus to those around us. And if we're honest, when we think about evangelism, that's one of those things in the Christian life that can be uncomfortable. To be able to share your faith with those around you, because our faith in the gospel is so opposite of what the world believes in. It goes against the convictions and the beliefs of this world. And so to be able to talk about sin and a Savior and eternal life and eternal hell, those things do not coincide with the world that we live in. So from this passage, how can we learn to share the good news and the hope of the gospel with those around us? That's my prayer this morning, is that we would be able to see that some from this passage, and next week we'll continue looking at that as we look at the rest of John chapter 4. But our two big things that we're going to see this morning are gospel opportunities and gospel conversations. And so I'm going to ask if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word as we read John chapter 4 together. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman from Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' She said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw.' He said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. At this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why do you speak with her? So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? And they went out of the city and were coming to him. Father, we are once again coming to you because of Christ. We can approach your throne of grace because of the finished work of Christ. And Lord, we are praying and asking that you would be with us in this moment. That your Spirit would guide us to the understanding of your word, Father, so that we can know you more and so that we can live for you more in this life. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, we're going to see two big things or themes in this passage this morning, drawing a different aspect out of these verses. And the first one is gospel opportunities. We see this really in verses 1 through 9, in chapter 4, 1 through 9. And we went through this passage the last 2 weeks looking at the details where Jesus is going back to Galilee and he's going through Samaria. But verse 4 is what I want us to focus on for just a few moments. As he's going up to Galilee, it says that he had to pass through Samaria. Now again, if you look on a map, you can see where Jesus was in the south. He was going up north, and you could go through Samaria, but most of the Jews, because of their hate and their history against the Samaritans, they would go around that particular area. But Jesus, it says, he had to pass through Samaria. And as we said 2 weeks ago, that was for a divine purpose. But Jesus is modeling for us in some ways how we too can look for these gospel opportunities in our own life. Because Jesus tells us in John chapter 17, as the Father sent him into this world, he's also sent us into the world. And so we live our lives not just as Christians who've been saved and are going to heaven, but on mission for God for a purpose, seeking to make him known to those around us. And so there are opportunities all around us each and every day, like the Lord Jesus had here at this moment, that one day when he met the woman at the well at noon. It was a hot day. Jesus was tired. He was weary from the journey. He was thirsty, and he sits down at a well. This was no accident. Jesus knew that he was going to encounter this woman. Why? Because we know the Lord Jesus is God. We don't always know the people that we're going to encounter in our lives, but that's why we have to make sure that we are living with opportunities all around us to make much of the Lord Jesus. God has sovereignly placed us in this world and in this time to make him known and to share the good news of Christ with those around us. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 tells us this. Paul is there preaching at Athens, and he says, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and their boundaries and their habitations. What Paul means there is that you live in the time that you live. You live in the place that you live, in the family that you live, by the sovereign determination of God. It's God's will that you are where you are in your lifetime. The street that you live on, the neighborhood you live in, the county you live in, the state, the country, that is not by pure chance or coincidence or accident. God has placed you here for this time, for such a time as this, as the book of Esther tells us. You are here for a purpose. And if I can take it a step further, you are here today in this moment because God has brought you here this morning to hear a word from Him. You might have set your alarm and decided you're coming to church, but it's by God's sovereign plan and will that you're here this morning. And God has that for all of us. And so we have to ask ourselves, how can we live our lives with intentionality to make Him known to those around us? I've often told you that I love history and I love all kinds of different eras of history, and I would love to go back and visit to different places, but that doesn't exist. There's not real life time machines to go back to the 1800s and live with people. I have been put here for this purpose in this moment, and you have to be here at this church in 2024 in Chester County. And the question becomes, how can we leverage our lives for the sake of the gospel in this time that God's placed us? Again, our lives are not just a bunch of accidents. It's not a bunch of coincidences that we live our lives. It's determined and guided by the Lord. This is what Scripture tells us. We have been appointed here, and there are moments all around us, like this moment here with Jesus at the woman at the, with the woman at the well, for gospel opportunities. And what we have to do is open our eyes to those opportunities around us. They're all around us. I was thinking about that this week, and here's just some examples for us to consider. Many of you are parents, and many of you, some of you have small kids still, and here's some opportunities for you this week, thinking about gospel opportunities in your home. You get up, and there's some time in the mornings to pray with your children, to be able to share a word over breakfast, the word of the Lord with them. Or when you lay them down at night before bed, you pray with them. You share scripture with them. You read them a Bible story. You sing a hymn with them. Have some family worship time. There's built-in times for you to do that. Many of you are grandparents. And many of you have opportunities to pick up your grandkids after school and keep them on the weekends. There is built-in time in those car rides and there at your house to share the gospel, to share Christ with your grandkids when you have those opportunities. It's fun to make memories and to go and to do different things, but we can't miss the big opportunities to spend time sharing the hope of the gospel with kids and grandkids. Some of you are retired, but some of you still work, and you have coworkers all around you each and every day to be able to be an influence to. Some of you eat lunch with other coworkers. Some of you might not like that, but you do. But there's opportunities in those lunch times to be able to spend time and to influence your coworkers with the gospel. To be able to say, I'm going to take my Bible and maybe read Scripture together with some of my coworkers and be able to walk through Scripture with them. Many of you have neighbors. Some of you live by yourself and you're secluded, but some of you have neighbors and you live on streets where you can see your neighbors and you can get out and do yard work together. You can go on walks together. You can invite them over to your home and provide dinner for them. And in those opportunities, you're building relationships with people. And there's opportunities and moments to where you can speak the truth of the gospel with those people. Those moments exist. Those are just a few moments, but those moments exist each and every day. The question becomes, do we have the eyes to be able to see those moments around us? God calls us to live for Him in this life and to make Him known. There are these opportunities, gospel opportunities all around us. Part of that comes from having a heart for people. Look down at verse 5. So he, Jesus, came into the city of Samaria, to the city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well, and it was the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Again, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, but this was a huge deal. That Jesus was there at the well talking to this woman who was a Samaritan. This didn't just happen in this culture. And yet Jesus had a heart for people that they would come to believe in him and have be set free from the slavery of their sin. And we too, in order to see those gospel opportunities around us, have to have a heart for people. We have to have a heart for the lost around us. We have to look past the things that divide us, such as personal histories and ethnic backgrounds and racial backgrounds. Often we have prejudices in our own lives and in our own hearts that we have to set aside in order to have a heart for the people around us. We read this passage earlier in Psalm 96, verse 3. It says this: "Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the people." The psalmist is writing that the nations, every tribe, tongue, nation, and people group would understand and believe the Lord and know him, not just people that look like us, not just people that have the same kind of socioeconomic background than us, but people of all walks of life, that they would praise his name. When you walk out and you go into town and you go into a city and you go into a store and you see people, do you have a burden for the lostness around you? Do you see the great need for those people to know the Lord Jesus? Psalm 67, we'll come back to this passage next week, but it says this in verse 4: "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with uprightness and you guide the nations on the earth." The psalmist again there is saying, may the peoples praise the Lord, may the nations come to know God. But here's the thing: no one is saved without the proclamation of the gospel. No one is saved without speaking of the truth of the Lord Jesus to that particular person. They have to hear in order to believe. That's what Scripture speaks and tells us. And the nations are all around us. We know that we as a Southern Baptist Church support our International Mission Board. We give money each week with our tithes and offerings to be able to send missionaries all around the world to the nations, that they would get on a plane and they would leverage their lives and give up their entire lives for the sake of the gospel. And we pray for them. And we're thankful for those who are on the front lines in the missions, and we're back here holding the ropes for them and praying for them and encouraging them as they go. But here's the thing. Most of us in this room are not getting on an airplane and going into the middle of Africa next week to take the gospel. Most of us are not going to Southeast Asia or going down to South America with the gospel. Those opportunities don't always exist for us, but we do happen to live in a country where there is a melting pot, if you will, of cultural diversity, where the nations have literally come to us. All around us, there are people from every tribe, tongue, nation in our own country. And the question becomes, do we have a heart for those people to hear the gospel and to believe? There was a pastor from Africa, from Niger, which is right above Nigeria, years ago. He came to school in Kentucky, and he was in the middle of Walmart, and this couple had come up to him and began to talk to him and recognize that he was from Africa and had a conversation and invited him to church and to be able to come and to hear the gospel. And he said, "Listen, I'm a Muslim. I know what you're doing. I don't want to come because I don't believe in that." Well, some time passed and he decided, you know what, I'm going to go and see what this couple was about. So he called this couple. He began to spend some time with this couple. He heard the gospel and he was saved. And praise the Lord for that. His plan was to come and to live in America the rest of his life, to pursue the American dream. But when he came under the conviction of sin, and he remembered and realized all of those in his family and friends and his community that were lost in sin, He changed the trajectory of his life and decided to go back to Niger and became a pastor. And he began to see gospel fruit there in Niger, where hundreds of people were becoming saved through the gospel. Praise the Lord for that. That was a gospel opportunity right there in the middle of Walmart, because this couple had a heart for the nations. These opportunities are around us if we have a heart for people and we open our eyes to see these opportunities. When you have these opportunities, it can be difficult, though, which is the second part of what I want us to see, is having those gospel conversations. So let's look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jesus takes this conversation with this woman and takes it to a spiritual level. He begins to have a gospel conversation with her. And we know that she misunderstands, thinking, "Well, you don't have anything to draw this water with. How are you going to give me living water?" But Jesus is speaking about something greater. He's speaking about eternal life, is what verse 14 tells us. He took that conversation to a spiritual level to be able to share with her the hope of the gospel. And you think, well, look who is doing that. It's Jesus. Of course he can do that. He is the Lord Jesus. Of course he can share the good news of the hope of him with this woman, because he's the Lord. But all of us, if we're honest, I've said this way before, but let me say it again. We are naturally evangelists. We're naturally evangelists to the things that we care about the most. We care about sports. We care about television shows. We care about movies. We care about our family. We care about what's going on at work. And it doesn't take very long for you to have a conversation with people to find out what people really care about, because they begin to talk about those things and share those things with one another. It has not been very difficult for me to have conversations with each of you about mine and Satan's new daughter, Wren. It's been very easy, actually, a lot easier than I thought, to talk about her all the time. And I feel like sometimes people are going to get tired of me showing pictures and talking about her. But I care about her. I love her. I want to tell you about her. But what happens is we can talk about all of these wonderful things and forget to talk about the main thing, which is the Lord Jesus. Eventually, we have to open our mouths about the spiritual things in our lives. We have to tell about the gospel. It's good to talk about sports. It's okay to talk about movies. It's okay to talk about your family. But if you talk about those things and you never talk about Christ, you have to ask yourselves, what is my priority of my heart and of my life? If we have a heart for those around us, then we'll see their need and we'll see their lostness, and we'll begin to get to that part of the conversation. Some of you think, well, I don't know exactly how to do that. I don't know exactly what to say. I've heard Christians say that, but let me just try to help you breathe for just a moment, because many of you have been in church for a very long time. Decades you've been in church. You've heard hundreds of sermons. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you've been in Sunday school, you've read Christian literature. It's not that you don't know. Hopefully, by this point, many of you who proclaim to be believers know the gospel, know the truth of sin, know the truth of Christ and the cross and his resurrection, know the hope that you have. It's not that you don't know it, but it's that you have to trust that God is working in you and through you to make him known to others. Next week, as we finish up this passage, we're going to see that this work of gospel, of evangelism, is really a work of God through us. And he is causing the growth. But we have to be bold. We have to be. We have to rely on the Spirit. That's what happened to Peter. Peter naturally was not a bold man. But when the Spirit descended upon him in that church, the early church there in Acts chapter 2, he was filled with boldness to be able to preach the gospel to those there in Jerusalem during Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4. He had boldness because of the Spirit. And so you and I, it's not that we have a lack of knowledge. Sometimes we have a lack of relying on the Lord to work through us and in us as we have these conversations. Many of you learned different languages when you were in high school, middle school, high school. You learned Spanish and French and other languages, and for most of us, we've forgotten those languages. You learn them for a couple of years, you pass some classes, and then you don't ever use those languages again, and they go away. It's just what happens. But unfortunately, for some Christians, that happens with the language of the gospel. They hear the good news of Christ, they hear about their sin, they hear about the cross and the resurrection, and they believe it, but it doesn't stick, and they don't have that language on their tongue and in their hearts and in their minds to be able to share it with people. That's why often, if you pay attention to the prayers that I pray and the way that I say things, I'm not very creative. I'm saying the gospel message over and over and over because I want to model for you what the gospel is, that we're sinners and that God has created us to live for Him, but because of sin, that relationship's been broken. But God in His grace and mercy has sent the Lord Jesus to live a perfect life and to die on the cross and to be resurrected. And He's at the right hand of the throne of God now and will return one day and make all things new. That's the gospel message. That's the story of Scripture. And so my prayer as your pastor is that you would believe that, you would know that, and that you would believe that so much that you would want to make it known to those around you. And so we see that we have to speak the gospel, but a part of the gospel that really is uncomfortable. Look at verses 15 through 18 is the aspect of sin. This woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." She did not understand what Jesus was saying. He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said to him, "I have no husband." And he said, "You have correctly said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have truly said." So last week we talked about this passage, and I said that Jesus confronts sin. But even we as believers, when we share the gospel with people, we cannot deny the reality of sin. We have to do like this, and we have to acknowledge that sin exists. Sometimes in our evangelism and in our sharing of the gospel, we can become judgmental because of the sins of people. But rather than judging them for their sins, what we ought to do is have a broken heart for them and remember the same situation that we were before Christ. Lost, broken, helpless, without any hope in this world, as Paul says. And so when we begin to share this good news of Christ with people, we begin to tell them about the reality of sin, not because we're trying to be offensive, but because we want them to be set free from sin. Jesus does this for a reason. He goes to this woman and talks to her about her sin because she needs to understand the bad news before she can ever understand the good news. She has to understand the reality of her situation before a holy God. And we have to do that as well. There are a lot of churches and a lot of Christians that are trying to reach the world for Christ without ever addressing and acknowledging that sin exists. They accommodate their sins. There was a book written in the 70s and 80s by Francis Schaeffer called The Great Evangelical Disaster. And he said one of the issues of the Christian church today is accommodation. That we accommodate with the world in order to reach the world, and we look no differently than the rest of the world. We celebrate sins, trying to reach people for Christ, rather than calling them out for what they are. Jesus did not ignore the sins of this woman. And we have to share that sin does exist, and sin is offensive against God. But Jesus shared hope with her as well. That's what 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 tells us. "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." So we explain that sin is real, but we give people hope. We don't leave them there. We don't leave them there in their pity and in their sin against the holy God. But we say that that is right. We are all fallen and in need of salvation. And here is the hope of the Lord Jesus. Here is how we can be made right with God. And so we acknowledge sin. We acknowledge the goodness of who Christ is. And then let's look down at verses 27 through 30 for just a few moments this morning. How does she respond? Jesus talked about true worship. We saw this last week. And she said to him, well, we've been waiting on. We know that Messiah is coming, the one who's called the Christ. And Jesus says, I am he. Verse 27 tells us this. At this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with this woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why do you speak with her? And so the disciples, remember, they were in town getting some food for Jesus while he was at the well having this conversation with Jesus. They come back and they're a little bit appalled, thinking, why are you talking with this Samaritan woman here at the well? It's because there was a divine purpose. There was a divine reason. What happens, verse 28, the woman left her water pot, went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? And they went out of the city and they were coming to him. So the disciples, they didn't understand. We'll come back next week and see this conversation that Jesus has with the disciples. But look what the woman does. As she encounters Jesus, she learns about living water. She's confronted with her sin. She learns about true worship in the Lord. And Jesus tells her that he is the Messiah. It says that she left her water pot and she goes into the city. And she tells the people, look, here's one that's told me all that I've ever done. Two things that we can't miss from these couple of verses. One is the fact that she does leave her water pot. I don't want to over-spiritualize what she's doing here, but one pastor and author this week said what that symbolized. John wrote that for a reason, to help us to see that she left the emptiness of her old life away. She left it behind her because she's found fullness in the fountain of living water in the Lord Jesus himself. And there's a lot of people that have yet to, if you will, let go of that water pot. And that's the part of evangelism, sharing the good news of Christ with the aim to persuade, to helping people to see their need for Christ. Some of you may be here this morning and you're in the same situation of this woman, where you are continuing to drink from the things of this world, trying to satisfy your heart and your soul. But as I've said over and over, you will never truly be satisfied until you come to Christ, until you believe in him, until you run to him to be saved from your sin and to be made right with God. And so this woman, she forgets about the reason she even went there in the first place, to draw water because she was physically thirsty. She leaves the water pot behind. Praise the Lord. And what does she do? Secondly, she goes and tells about the one that she has met. She says, come and see a man who told all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? Now, if you remember, what was significant about this story is that this woman goes during the hottest part of the day to draw from the well by herself. Why? Because of her sinful past. People know about her sinful past, and yet when she has met the one that can change her and to make her right with God, what does she do? Leaves her water pot, runs into the city, drawing attention, proclaiming, I've met the one that can save my soul. I've met the Lord Jesus. He's told me all that I've ever done. He's confronted me with my sins. And guess what? It doesn't matter, because I've met the one that can make me free. And that's what she does here. And so if you have experienced that, you also must go out and proclaim and make known the one that can set people free. She doesn't care what people think about her anymore. She goes because she's right with the one that matters, the Lord himself. She goes and proclaims this to her people. She wants them to experience the same joy and satisfaction and salvation that she is experiencing herself. If we have a desire to see our friends and family and neighbors and co-workers and people in our community saved, then we have to go out with gospel intentionality and make that known to them. I want to share, as we close, really two stories with you that I hope help us to see where we are as a church and what we are called to do as God's people here at First Baptist Church of Lowry's. two stories. One comes from my last church that I served at under a man named Pastor Jeff. And he shares this story from years ago when he was serving as a pastor in Texas. He served in a small town in Texas, and just a couple of thousand people. Most everybody knew everybody in this town, and he was at the First Baptist Church there. And so he would know when new people came to church, and he noticed a couple that came and sat in the back of the church, and he knew this couple. He had known of this couple, and he knew that this couple had come from one of his friends' churches in the city. So they have worship that morning, and as they're leaving, they come up to him and say, "Well, I guess you know why we've come this morning." He said, "No, but I noticed that you were here. I'm glad you were with us, but what brought you this morning?" And I want you to hear this. He said, they began to have this conversation and said, "It's because our Tuesday night evangelism visitation that we've had for years, the pastor canceled it. He canceled the program, he canceled the visitation, and that upset us, so we've come here." So Pastor Jeff, if you knew Jeff, you knew he was going to respond this way. And he said, "Well, what are you doing on Tuesday nights? Are you still going out and visiting?" And they said, "Are you not listening? He canceled the program. We can't just go out and visit ourselves." And Pastor Jeff said, "Yes, you can. You don't need a program to go out and to evangelize the people. You don't need a certain set time during the week that the church is organizing to do that. Our church, I know we have a history of visitation programs, and a lot of churches do, and some of those have gone away. But we don't need a program to go and share the gospel." Jesus didn't have a program here. He happened to be at the well that day because he had a divine encounter with this woman. This week, you will go out and have divine encounters that I didn't set up, that your Sunday school teacher didn't set up, but the Lord set up. And you've got to ask yourselves, do you have eyes to see those opportunities? Let me share a second story. There was a woman. Her name is Rosaria Butterfield. You probably have not heard of this particular woman, but this was a very influential woman in the world. She came under the influence of the LGBTQ community. She was a lesbian for a very long time in her teenage years, in her 20s, and she was a tenured professor at Syracuse, and she was one of the people that helped this sexual revolution that we are in right now with all the gender things that are happening in our country. She was a huge part of that. And she began to read the Bible, and she was going to be a skeptic and be critical of the things of Scripture. And she began to write some articles about this. And there was a pastor and his wife who were neighbors with her that reached out to her and said, "Rosaria, we'd love for you to just come have dinner with us. Just come and eat with us, and we just want to see if we can answer any of the questions that you might have about Jesus and the Scriptures." So she begins, and she has dinner, and they go back and forth in conversations, and this lasts for 2 years. It's not just something that's just a one-off event. This was for 2 years on a regular basis. This couple invited her into their home. And she was so against Christianity because of her worldview and her lifestyle. And after 2 years, the grace of the Lord broke through her heart, and he saved her. And he redeemed her, and he made her his own. And she left that lifestyle. She left her tenured professorship, and she left all of her world. She says this, "I lost everything but the dog. I lost everything in my life that I thought was important to me, but I've gained everything because I've gained eternal life in the Lord Jesus." She is now a mom and a wife to a Presbyterian pastor, and she's writing books, and she's telling her story to people to help them to see that they can be set free too. But let me go back to what I want you to not miss. It started off with a neighbor saying, "Come and have dinner with me. Come over and have supper with us." It's not that difficult to be able to have those opportunities. And all of you this week have opportunities to be able to share the gospel with different people. Here's just a few opportunities for you this week. You have your kids that I've mentioned, your grandkids, cousins, spouses, friends, neighbors, co-workers, you have hairdressers, you have mechanics, you have people all around you in your life. There's opportunities all around. The question becomes, are we going to be intentional with those opportunities. And it could be as simple as, hey, come over for dinner. Hey, let me take you out to breakfast. Let me get to know you. Let me hear your heart. Let me share with you the good news of the hope of the gospel. This is what the world needs. This is how we can reach this community for the Lord Jesus, is by being intentional with our relationships with those around us. That's my prayer for our church. That's my prayer for you, that we would go out this week and we would live for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word. What a challenging word it is. Lord, we know your word helps us to see our sin and see our great need to be saved. Lord, your word also tells us where to find hope. Hope found only in the Lord Jesus through his life and death and resurrection. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I believe that there are many here this morning that know you, that are believers, that are walking with you. Lord, there may be some this morning that do not know you. Lord, I pray as they've heard the gospel presented this morning that they would believe and trust in you. And Lord, those who do know you, I pray that they would have this gospel in their hearts and in their minds and on their lips. And Lord, as we go out this week, that we would make much of you this week. Lord, as you give us opportunities each and every day to share the good news of the hope of Christ with those around us, Lord, I pray that we would have eyes to see those opportunities. Lord, give us boldness by your Spirit to speak the truth of the gospel, to be able to confront sin and to present hope that Jesus brings, Father. Lord, we know that you've called us to be a part of the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations, Father. And Lord, we know that you are also the Lord of the harvest. And so, Lord, we pray that as we go out this week, we go out trusting that you would work, Father, that you would save, that you would speak through us, and that people would repent of sins and have faith in you. In Christ's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus.